You know, we're faith people here in the Christian Life Center. We believe that faith is one of the main stepping stones to get through this Christian experience successfully. We live by faith. We walk by faith. It's not by sight of what we see, what the world sees. They see things that are not important. But in this chapter, chapter 6, let's start reading verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now you need to write those things down and start developing those characters. These are the muscles of faith. These are the things that cause you to be successful and obedient. These are causes that cause you to not to surrender or yield or submit to the things that are around you because your faith is not strong enough. Now, I'm going to allude to some things today that I hope does not offend anybody, but I want to do it for your benefit. I want to do it so you'll know that this is how I resist. This is how I overcome. You see, you don't do that just by saying, I'm a recluse. You don't overcome it by being a recluse. It's being able to go through the battle and come out on the other side. Fight the good fight of what? Everybody say that. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Staying home living under the rock isn't going to get you there. You got to learn how to deal with situations where nobody else is there but you. Let me just mention a little thing. Most of us have a television at home. Many of us are on cable and different ways of getting it. But there's probably an opportunity for at least 100 different cables, things to come in your home. You got to make a decision what you're going to watch. When something comes on there and it's filthy, are you going to yield to it and say, well, it's on. I didn't put it on there, but it's on there. And I guess I'll just sit here and watch it. Or do you have the courage and the faith and fighting the good fight that I'm not going to put that in my spirit? I know Christians have given in to this. That's just a tiny little thing. Go to a restaurant. Well, most every little place today has some kind of license. They can do wine or they can do a little beer or they can do this. And you go there and say, well, look around, everybody's drinking something. You say, well, we'll have wine. And you don't even know what you're ordering. You don't even know these fancy names. You get it, and you say, everybody's sipping a little bit of wine. And what? Some places you bring your own. Christians have allowed the good fight of faith to overcome them because they haven't resisted enough. Now, you can say amen in this church. If you don't resist, it'll overtake you. When water starts coming in, you stop it. When the flood's coming towards you, you say, let's evade this place. Let's stop it. Let's get out of here. Don't go into these areas. Don't get involved in them. Don't be a socialite to a point that you feel embarrassed if you don't just take a drink anyhow. That's not my message. I'm trying to get a point to start here. In verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Don't give your testimony away over something trivia, small, and compromised with the world. Don't give up and don't agree to something that you're not a part of. You know, I don't do that. I don't go there. I don't do this. I'm not a part. Just don't go. Don't make up excuses. Well, I don't feel good tonight, and I don't participate in that. I don't do that. Fight the good fight of faith by resisting. What are we resisting today? Nothing. Buying clothes that make you look like an old hussy. Come on. Be conservative in everything you do. Be modest in all things. This is no joke, folks. This is how the door gets open and the enemy comes in. Oh, I look so good in this. And guys are just as bad as women. Oh, I got to get a deluxe haircut, go up and get haircut, pay $35 for a man's haircut. Are you stupid or what? Who do you think has been cutting my hair for 55 years? Anybody know? My wife. She said, I don't want no woman hanging over you. Come on now. Come on, how many things have been destroyed because too much stuff is, you're looking good today, you know. And the first thing you know, you're putting your hands all over somebody. Look at this. Man, you done been to the cure. You understand what I'm saying? It says resist these things. I'm not telling everybody what to do. I'm just telling you what I do. I don't want any appearance of it. Dress conservatively. Be a modest person. Keep your mouth shut on issues that you don't know anything about. Don't go around criticizing everybody and you're the judge of everything. You don't know anything about nothing, so shut up. God says we're to walk by faith and recite. We're in a fight here. We're in a battle. And we got to hold on. In verse 13, give thee charge in sight of God who quickens all things before Jesus Christ, who before, now look, before, Pontius, my page, I should have bought a better Bible. In verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unbreakable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, my message today, I want to share some of the hindrances to faith. Some of the things you're letting slip in on you. A mouse can get in your house so easy. A mosquito, a fly can drive you half nuts. One little fly gets in your house, and you're slapping yourself in the face and the head and can't get it to you. Go get that big swath broom, and when you hit it, man, it flies apart. That's what you got to do to sin. That's what you got to do to the works of the devil. Pride can enter your life so fast. Pride's an evil thing. And we let it overtake us. I'm somebody. I'm going somewhere. You ain't nobody, and you ain't going nowhere without Jesus. We got to have the Holy Ghost working in our lives. We got to have the power working in our lives. Resist, resist, resist. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art called. And that's professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want you to notice this first, particularly this first phrase. Fight the good fight of faith. See, the only fight that believers have to worry about is the fight of faith. I've had people tell me, well, I'll tear that devil up. I'll go after him. You better watch going after the devil. I know somebody's already taken care of him, and I don't run after him. He's already been defeated. You're the one that's not defeated yet because you still got the lust of the flesh. You're going after these things. You got to die in yourself down inside. I have no longer. Not me lives anymore, but it's the things of God. Curse the enemy. So I have no part of you. You have no flesh in me. I deny you. You have no authority in me. I belong to Jesus. Be so bold that the devil won't come near you. Oh, I can fight the devil. I'll fight him. I'll show him. He'll whip you so fast you won't know what happened. The only fight we have is the good fight of faith. Lay all this other stuff aside. I'll give them a piece of my mind. I'll go down there and show it. I'll tell them something. Oh, be quiet. You're going to make a fool of yourself. How many Christians have actually backslid over something that they got into and couldn't get out of? Believers have a tendency to think that they can do all things. Doesn't say that. It says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's Jesus in you that gives you the ability to be an overcomer. Your flesh is weak. You want the ice cream? Well, yeah, probably. I could, yeah, that'd be all right. Yeah, I could do that. I mean, I resist that. Well, you know, you can talk me into it. Just ask me. Well, we're that way with sin. A least little thing can get your eye. I could tell you 1,000 stories that you wouldn't believe are so wild. Secretly, this one man cashed in his death check, his money that he had for dying, and spent the money for that, and his wife didn't know anything about it. And when all these things come up, you know what? They were broke. And he wasn't a gambler. Big shot. I'll take care of that. I can do this. I can do that. He wanted to be big shot amongst his peers, and they was all laughing behind his back. You say, why would that happen? It's easy. We don't pay enough attention to what's really going on. That's in our spirit, man. Go to sleep. I mean, everybody knows John Wayne's name. I mean, John Wayne was the man. And you know what? He was supposed to be the superstar of the war movies. He was never even in the service. John Wayne was never in the service. And he wears the Marine Corps uniform, being the big guy on campus, you know? Let me tell you something. He never even went through boot camp. Deception. That's how the devil gets people. Deception. Deceiving you and lying. He's a robber. He's a thief. He's an overcomer. He'll steal your joy. He'll steal your resources. He'll steal your finances. He'll steal your health. If you let him, you got to bind him. You got to resist him. You got to say, you have no authority over me. I belong to Jesus. I'm blood bought. I'm blood washed. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I resist you. That's my fight. That's the fight you got. Not watch anything comes on television. Well, I don't know how I got on that channel. I'll tell you, the devil come up and change the channel on it if you ain't careful. We let little kids watch stuff, and I'll tell you one thing. You might think I was a weird person, but them boys used to call out. Can we talk to Julie? Who's this? Who's calling? What do you want? For what? No, she can't go. One night, Jason was going to stay over to one of his friend's houses, sleepover. Well, I didn't know the family. I didn't know who they were. So I told Beth, I said, call over and just see how Jason's doing, if he's okay, everything's fine. You know, I mean, health-wise, we like to check up on him a little bit, you know. She said, he said that his father said they were up at the Catholic church where they're having a dance. I put my slippers on, went up to the Catholic church. I'm parked out front when they start coming out. He comes out of there. I thought he was going to pass out. Get in the car. I brought him down here where this cross is outside this church. I said, you get down in front of that cross and you begin to pray until you get prayed through this thing. I'm going back to the car. No, don't do it. I'll never do it again. I won't do it. Don't tell me. Tell him. And I said, furthermore, you can pick up your clothes from where your friend is when you go back at school. I said, because you're not going back to his house. You lied. You lied. You lied. Oh, he cried. He said, don't. I said, I ought to hit you right now. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, I'm going to let Jesus take care of it. You know, he's too big to whip. See, after boys get so big, you can't whip them no more. You got to hit them. I said, you go ahead, hit me first. I'll let you hit me first. I said, but I'll tell you one thing, you better make it good. Dad, no, I'm not going to hit you. I said, you better do it. Well, I'll tell you one thing, when he got home, his mom said, what in the world did you do to him? I mean, he was crying. He was upset. He said, I've never seen Dad like that. That's the last time. Did you hear me? That's the last time we had any problem with that. I'm just telling you something. You got to react against sin, disobedience, whether it's a lie or whether, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I just can't handle them. You can handle them. We always had a dog around the house when we were growing up. And in those days, a leash was homemade. We had to take my dad's belts and put them together, make a homemade. Anybody ever had stuff like that we made at home? So what my mom would do, she said, go get me the leash. You know what that meant? Belts. Whew. She didn't know when to stop. Yeah. You might say, that's cruel. Yeah, that's cruel. But I know one thing, it's an educator. And yet in the Holy Ghost, who is the sweetest one of all, he's tender, he's merciful. He just comes up to you and said, let's go. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. Do this. And you disobey him all the time. He guides you. He leads you. He teaches you. He brings you the right way. He's your guide. He's your all in all. He's the one that will help you. He's a comforter. He's the one that will give you direction and opportunity to overcome every situation. They don't do it much anymore, but we used to have detour signs. Bridges out. Put signs up. Bridges out. 50 miles an hour, man. This is rocking on. Put up signs. what the speed limits are. Forget it. I don't need that. I can do whatever I want. See, that's how we live our life of faith any way we want to. I'm just a social drinker. Tell Jesus that. Kids think they can get away with little stuff. We used to back in those days, it was the little things that got us in trouble. But today, with drugs and all the barbiturates and the things that are available today, a kid can kill himself one night. He's dead. I've been down to the hospital and said, we've done everything we can do. We pumped the stomachs. We've done this. Blah, 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 blah. And they said, oh, it's just a matter of time. Now see if he can survive it. And many of them don't. What fight are they fighting? Nothing. They're lured into sin by doubt and unbelief and failure of disobedience with the little things. It's the baby foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things in your life that you let creep in. It's the things that you don't deal with that cause your faith to be weak and frail. And say, I don't know. I just can't do that. Instead of praying about it, you complain about it. Can I hear an amen? You say, well, you don't know. If you've had kids, you know. And if you haven't, you've had them and you know anyhow. Because you know how you were. I used to keep one window in our bedroom unlocked all the time. My two brothers, three of us in one room. Can you imagine that? Twin beds. And another bed up where had to move the dresser so we could get the bed out. Come on now. 10 kids in one family. I had me a cinder block out by the window. I could step up on it, crawl up, and get in the window, you know. Well, my mom would say, what time did you come in last night? My poor old mom would set up and wait and leave the door open and be asleep in the chair until I come in. And she would say, is that you, Earl? Who were you expecting, Mom? She couldn't go to bed till all the kids were in. Anybody live like that? And sometimes she wasn't happy about it. Mom ain't happy. There ain't nobody happy. Well, you know what we do to Jesus? We hang out on him. We stay out. We flip out. We lose our temper real quick. We lose our ability to function in the realm of the spirit. We move over to the natural, carnal man, the flesh man, the pride man. We move over to these other areas in our life. We say, well, I'll tell you, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. You might think you're able to expound yourself and be somebody that you're not, but let me tell you, with God, it doesn't wash. With the Spirit of God, it doesn't wash. Somebody find me Romans 12:3. I'm going to talk about a measure for a minute. Romans 12:3. Read it real loud. It would be Romans 12:3. Stop right there. I have dealt to every man. That means woman, man, child. Everybody has a measure of faith. And he said, I've dealt this to you, and I expect you to use it. Put your faith out there. I don't have to be a part of that. One time we was over by the building there, and some high school boys, and me and another guy got into kind of a fist fight, and my dad had come by there, you know, and he said, later that day, he said, boy, I come by the school prayer center. There's two guys out there fighting. He didn't know who it was. You know what? I didn't tell him. What were we fighting about? I don't know. What's all this about? We don't know. Pride enters in, ego, vanity, all the things that, you know, masculinity and femininity, all that stuff enters into these things. First thing you know, you're in a big mess. You want to get humiliated, have your mother walk you back to school and walk up the steps right in front of the whole school, and you're going back to, in high school, your mother taking you back to school to the principal's office. Oh, that's worse than a beating. I wish they had took me around back in the school and whipped me. Are you hearing me? What do you think it's going to be when we get to stand before Jesus? What do you think it's going to be when he said, I gave you everything to provide for you. I said I would lead you and guide you and provide for you. I would keep you safety. He has done everything for us. He has fought the devil. He's defeated the devil. We're blood bought and blood washed. We don't have to go through anything like that. We can live above it and walk in the glory land. We're overcomers. We're more than conquerors. The greater one indwells us. We have God's ability, and we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Why don't we operate in that zone? There's a miracle zone. There's a free zone that you walk into where we're blessed going in, blessed going out. Whatever we put our hands to, we'll prosper. Why don't we live in the area where we can walk with the Holy Ghost and feel the sensitivity? Don't do this, go this way. Okay, I got you on that. You say, well, the Holy Spirit is talking to me. Well, why didn't you obey him? In my own life, I think half the things that ever happened to me could have been avoided if I had just obeyed the Holy Spirit. I tell them, talk louder to me, will you? Get on me about it. Push me a little bit. Talk to me more about it. I'm just a whisper. Holy Spirit wants to lead you. See, and that's the difference being pushed and being led. He's got to come back and say, this way, come on, come this way. Where are you at now? Come on, don't stop and look at that, come on. See, the Holy Spirit's going ahead of us preparing the way, and we're lagging back because we're into gawking. Boy, I used to get a car, convertible, drive down through the town where the windows, looking in the windows. One night I didn't have a crash and run into somebody. I'd look at that man, look how good that is. Look at you. Anybody ever done anything like that? I have. I have to admit it. Convertibles. Boy, I love convertibles. Fast ones. My mother-in-law at that time, Betty and I were dating. She said, whatever you do, never get in a car with him. And I didn't dare ask her about it because I knew I knew how she felt. Front porch. Leave the lights on, please. It's my mother-in-law. That wasn't my mother-in-law at that time. The light won't seek about to turn the light on. Draws mosquitoes. What you do in darkness? Come on, church, wake up. We're deceiving ourselves. Just because you go get that, yeah, it really gets me. When I'm at the ice cream stand up there and getting and somebody gives by and honks a horn, you know, hey, Pastor. Oh, Jesus. I can't even get an ice cream cone without somebody, you know, there you go. You're not supposed to be up there. I'm going to tell your wife. Seeing your husband up the customer stand. I get that, you know. Anybody digging this, what I'm saying? But it's seeing you at the wrong places. This didn't happen to me, but a friend of mine was an evangelist. He said he was with the pastor, and he said, there's one of my converts. And they said, about that time, this guy took a left-hand turn and went in the bar. Yeah, that's one of them. No, it isn't right. We got to live a simple life. Our glorious life is ahead of us. We want to live a clean life, one that's so easy that we're not resisting. I mean, why should I resist alcohol? I've never tasted it in my life. It's no temptation to me. Wine has no temptation to me. Beer has no temptation to me. You could say, here's 10 cases. I don't want it. Guys were going up to a ball game. It was tailgating, they call it. You ever heard them say that? I looked at the back of the truck. There were at least 4 tubs of ice with beer cans. Now you say, well, you're against drinking beer, you're against everything. I'm not against anything except I'm for Jesus. He said, yeah, he said, we got some backup in case we use that all up. By the time the game started, they didn't know which team they was looking at. You know, alcohol has been a deceptive thing. Now, you got to remember, Jesus used grape juice off the vine, but it had not fermented to a point that it was alcohol that gets drunk. We take communion. The devil copies everything God's ever done. He copies it. He's a copycat. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. He'll rob you of all your joy. He starts the little things. You ever couldn't find something? By the time you can't find it, you get mad and get thrown. You're so upset by that time, you're ready to tear the house down, and it's right where you left it. The devil can pull the wool over your eyes. He hollers wolf, wolf all the time. He's a deceiver. He's a robber. He's a thief. And he lets you stop in your way. Well, I don't know if I should go this way or not. I don't know what to do. Do what God says. He says, keep going forward under grace and mercy. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Church, we're overcomers. We're more. We're more. We're more than the rest of the world has no light for us. We have the light of God. We have the light of holiness. We have the Holy Spirit, the light of the world. We have the revelation of God's word. A sinner can't say that because they're in darkness, and no wonder they stumble all over the place and end up in confusion. Down south, they got an expression when they tell somebody how to go somewhere. They say, well, you got to go like the way the crow flies. What does that mean? What are you talking about? I'm lost. When you're lost, there's only one way to get back redeemed. That's through the blood of Jesus. You can't go around and go over and go under. You got to go through the process of being born again. Born again. So he says that faith shall walk by faith and not by sight. He says faith makes us overcomers. We're more than conquerors. You don't have to go around saying, I'm going to fight it. We have to fight the faith. I'm going to, never did anything. Guy bought a piece of property one time and he proclaimed it to, his, to everybody. I'm going to build a house on there one day. It's going to need to be described the house. Oh, it's going to be so beautiful. It was so beautiful. It was big and his family was all going to be raised there. And they were going to live there. Years later, he cut his story down a little bit. He says, I'm planning on building a house over there for me and the wife. And finally later, told people, I'm going to build a house, but I think it's just going to be a little bungalow for me, all by itself. You know, you can be by yourself pretty quick in this life, only you and Jesus, one day at a time. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk in the spirit realm, be the led of the Lord. And even when you buy something, you make a, the world says this, the guy's going to buy this big item, a house or a car or a big bank item. He's got to go in debt for it. He'll say, I want to sleep on it. You ever hear anybody say that? Have you ever heard anybody? Well, what are you sleeping on if you're thinking about spending $100,000? Why do you want to go to sleep? You better get yourself awake and say, Lord, should I do this? When you sleep on something, what do you wake up with? Nothing but a good night's sleep. And if you're thinking about that all night, you're rolling back and forth. What are you going to resolve that way? I'll sleep on it. That's the dumbest answer you can give somebody. If you ever do that, you're showing your lack of knowledge. Now, if you say, I'm going to pray about it, that gets some guys nervous. You tell a car, say, I'm going to pray about this. Where'd you come from? That means I'm going to tell my wife. Yeah, you'd be surprised how many guys do things and they pull up in the trailer, a new boat, a new trailer in the back. What's that? Oh, you, honey, you ain't going to believe the deal I got on this. She's lying right now. And the whole time, the time he sells it, he lies. He didn't get half of what he thought he was going to get for it. Did you hear me? The whole thing's a lie. Living a lie. We had some sensitive mail come through the house the other day. So I give it to Pastor. You open it. I don't know what it is. It's for you. I said, no, your name's on it too. So it happened to be a policy for, they call it life insurance, but it's death insurance. You get how you're into that? So I said, just open it up. And she opened up. She said, whoa. See, I've had life insurance on me for my family and my wife to protect her over 50 years now. Over 50 years. Oh, it's not real big, but it made her say, wow. Wow. I said, that comes every quarter, every 6 months. And I said, right in the mail, why don't you open it up? She said, well, I had your name on it. I said, your name's on it too? I want my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want my name written down. When they call you for, say, here, present, sir. Over here. I'm right here. And believe me, I'm not going to say, I'm going to fight a good fight, but I'm going to make it. No, we're going in. We're marching to Jordan. We're going up Mount Zion. We're going to be overtakers, overcomers. We're marching in. We're marching to Zion. Oh, beautiful Zion. We're going to that holy place, that place where he is, to see his beautiful face. Why are we beat down? We need to be sunshines everywhere we go. We should have the glory of God, the power of God, the essence of God. I mean, you're living the life. We're living the life now. It doesn't get any better. That Hollywood crowd, I'll tell you, they're a bunch of phonies. If you knew, and I know some of you will know more than I do. We were in Hollywood one time, Hollywood, California. And they have a tour you can ride around on a bus and look at all these guys' houses, you know, the stars' houses, they call it. Stars' houses tour. Well, it costs about $8 or $9 to get on the bus, you know. I told Beth, I said, I'm going to follow the bus. She said, no, don't do that. I said, I'm following the bus. So I followed him for a few blocks, and it was so uninteresting. I could hear it on the speaker he was talking, see. who lived there before, and they lived, well, they don't live there anymore, they're dead, and they sold it to so-and-so because they went broke, or they couldn't, I mean, every one of them had a puke excuse, pitiful. So I said, well, we just saved up money to buy dinner. I'm not really interested in that. I want to know where you're going to live. You're going to live on the sunny side, and I go over by Stewart's. He's going to have a raft right out in the river there, and we're going to fish, and we're going to catch some big ones. Catch and release all day long. Do you hear me? Look ahead. Look beyond. See, when you take a huge vacation, you're going to do something big. There's three levels to it. It's anticipation, it's manifestation, and then it's memorization. Past, present, and future. That's what our life's all about. I'm not living back here no more when I was riding a bicycle with no pedals on it. We had them little iron bars would stick out, you know, and they slip up and hit your leg and cut your leg. We didn't have pedals on it. It was just that bar, and it wasn't fun to ride at all because it was too dangerous. Seat was broke. The handlebars would go up and down. It wasn't any good, but we were riding it. But you know what? I'm not thinking about that at all anymore. I don't dwell on that. I don't dwell on that. What I'm thinking about is, it gets sweeter as the days go by. We're looking beyond what we see now. I need to be a repairman. My wife can find more things wrong. That needs to be fixed. This has got to be done. Don't you know? You don't pay any attention to me when I tell you. I mean, don't tell me no more about what's got to be repaired. I don't want to care about that. I'm looking up. My redemption is up there. My future's there. We're looking ahead. Oh, I know there's some things that's got to be fixed, but not every little. We need carpet, and you know, if we just had some new couch here, and the television getting old, and oh, shut up! Wow, stop it! So you're going to go to heaven and leave your 12 televisions in the house behind you? Don't worry about it. I actually see them putting cell phones in coffins. This has happened. I've seen that. Cell phone in the coffin. Now that battery goes down, I would approximately, I'm just going to give it a benefit of a day or two, right? Doesn't your battery go down if you don't have it charged up? What are you expecting, a call or something or what? I didn't say anything because, I mean, you know, why bother? That's exactly right. Our job is to walk by faith and not by sight. We're overcomers. We have blinders on. We're not pulled by the left or right. We're not detoured. We're not led astray. We're not caught up into somebody's concept or idea. Oh, if you just buy silver now, you'll make a lot of money. And what he doesn't know, the Bible passage says, someday a bag of gold won't buy a loaf of bread. They're trying to fool me. You didn't get that, did you? The Bible says gold is going to be useless someday. We think it's a premium now. Buy gold, buy silver. What are you investing in? I'm investing in the kingdom. I'm investing in something I know has got a full return. Full return. We believe in helping these children that are in some of these hospitals and things like that. I mean, that's not right. But the scams that are out there, the robbers, the thieves, the word hacked become a very popular word. Was it Facebook? 50 million people were hacked. Anybody know anything about that? 50 million. I know I wasn't. You know why? I'm not on it. You know, for at least 15 years, we didn't even have microphones back in the churches, back in those days. And I was a screamer, and I got nodules. I had come back from India. I'd been preaching over in India at Calcutta and places like that out in them. Big crowds and stuff, and I got nodules on my throat, and I'll come back, and I had to go to a surgeon. He said, well, you might as well look for a new job. He said, you'll never preach again. And I said, pardon me, say that again? And then I said, don't ever say that to me again. Amen. This is my doctor. Amen. He looked at me like, what did I say? I said, I will continue to preach. Amen. He said, well, could I give you some advice? I said, sure. He said, if you'll just
not talk loud, talk soft. And he said, when you're at home, write notes to your wife, write notes. He said, write everything down. Do you want to tell somebody, just write it. I listened to him. So I went to the church. I said, we got to get what they call in those days, a PA system. Anybody remember that PA? We got to get a PA system. I said, I'm having a little problem with my throat temporarily. So, of course, Betty, she told everybody, got nodules in there. I mean, she went that far and wide. We got to pray for him. He's got, and I didn't even know what nodules was at the time. But they're calluses on your throat. And your vocal cords don't touch. And you can't speak. Your words come out dysfunctional. So I said, no, I'm not giving up Wednesday night, Sunday night, or Sunday morning. But I said, there might be a slight modification on the length of time that I do preach. The guy said, whatever you got to do, do it, you know. We got a sound system. It was like, anybody ever heard of Silvertone? Sears and Roebuck. Silvertone. Real microphone, man, that thing. Hello, testing. I mean, everybody in church played with it because nobody ever seen one before, you know. And it had a little amplifier up in the pulpit, and I could turn it up, turn it down. I controlled everything myself. Randy was out of the job. You know what I mean? I could control myself. 35 watts. Today, that's hundreds back there. But you know what? Within 3 months, I didn't go back to the same doctor because I know he didn't believe it. I went to another doctor. He says, Reverend, he said, I don't see any nodules on your throat at all. And that's the last time I went to the doctor about that. And I'm still a screamer. The guy said, are you a screamer? I said, well, would you qualify that? And he said, well, I mean, he didn't want to say it, but it was a little bit of him putting the pressure on me for it, you know. But you're speaking over, and at big crowds overseas, it's with no microphone system and things, you have to scream. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, if I'd have went his route, he said, you got to get a different job. He said, you'll never preach again. I said, well, I guess the last time I'm going to be seeing you. And the thing is, that was 50 years ago. At least 50. Folks, I'm telling you that if you fight the good fight, you can overcome every problem you ever have. And you have the ability. Through Christ, we can do all things. He says, if you ask, I'll give it to you. He's out there pressed down, shaking together, running over. I'll meet all your needs, not according to what you have, but by my riches, my glory. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I want you to read up on these things. We're going to run out of time here, and we're not even started. These are hindrances. Somebody find me Romans 12:3, real quick. 12:3. Read Romans. Just start reading Romans 8 and just keep on going. Praise God. The measure of faith. One of the major hindrances to faith is a lack of understanding. Knowledge, we perish from a lack of knowledge. Did you hear me? We perish from a lack of knowledge. Now, you know that there are certain things you shouldn't take an abundance of or over amount of. If you do, they're going to get a certain results. See, if you do a certain thing a certain way, you're going to get a certain results. All right? Calories or sugar or whatever it is you like. If you have pancakes instead of eating two, you want eight. I mean, you know, they're going to get results out of that. If you want to pour on the whole bottle of, syrup, there's results in that. There's results in everything we do. But by and large, once we get the plan, God gives us a plan. We carry out that plan. We're going to be more than conquerors. We're going to overcome. We're going to defeat the enemy. We're going to be more than conquerors. We're going to be the head, not the tail. We're going to be above and not beneath. We're going to be on the winning side. We are there where God will be able to meet all of our needs. When you do just the opposite of what he says you're going to do, you negate what God's going to do because you're walking in unbelief and doubt. You can hear the phone ring at your house. I know that's a phone, but I'm not going to answer it. I ain't going to answer that phone. I don't think I'm going to answer the phone. It keeps ringing. And you either get frustrated and go over and say, hello, or else you do, you need to pick it up and put it back in the cradle again. Sometimes I run to get to the phone and I get there, hello, missed it. Do you know to be a good receiver, you got to respond accordingly with the right attitude? Now, I know there's a lot of quacks on the phone, but I'm talking about this is in your life and your family and your relationships with your friends, your extended family, your workplace, your boss, and everybody else. You got to respect everybody you talk to in a way that they will say, he's a serious person. Disrespect on somebody, you have lost communication already. Attitude, how you project your voice. A Christian comes in with an attitude, I'm not cursing, but you're one dog. I mean, you can cut somebody down and never say a bad word. Lose all confidence in you. Try to get something replaced in a store with bad attitude. They'll run you around so fast. The first thing you say, well, we're going to ship this back to California, and it'll be back in 12 days, and we'll call you when it comes in. They never call you back. They're kicking you out the store while they're talking to you, and you don't even know it. But if you go in there humbly and say, look, this thing, I don't know how to operate. I can't get it going. I don't know what to do. I said, come here. Let me show you a few things. It works beautiful. How many know direction books? I started to bring all of my books over this morning, my manuals. Anybody ever read your car manual yet, your new car? I found one the other day under the seat of my little red car at Ford. I don't think anybody's ever opened it. I found one not too long ago from a television. The whole thing was the book about the television. I don't understand anything in here. I didn't read it, I put it back down. Anybody ever get a hold of a manual that you got with a piece of equipment, like a mixer or something, a tool or something, and you looked at the book and said, I don't need that. That's what they do with the Bible. Throw it down and say, I don't need that. And when you say you don't need the Bible, you're in trouble already. You got to read on that, feed on that, and stay on that wall, and don't come down. You got to get up there and say, I'm not coming down. I'm not. Nehemiah said, I ain't got time to fool you. I'm not coming down. We don't have time to let the devil hoodwink us. Folks, if we can just get ourselves lined up with the Word and stay in the Word, set some goals. Read a chapter or two every day. If you're a systematic reader, go through a book at a time. Just keep going through them and we'll go through them. Go through the little gospels. Go through the Pauline teachings. You want to learn something. You start learning what Paul was teaching those churches. I mean, that was the foundation of this is foundational teaching. This is elementary teaching. Whether it was Thessalonica, Corinth, or any of them, he just went ahead. This is what I want you to do. This is what God says he wants you to do. Do this, do this, do this. And you'll be a winner for long. I love Hebrews. I love Romans. I love John. You know, see, there's not one that's any better one because all of them give you an insight information. It's putting yourself together. You put a whole wardrobe together when you read them all. What do you want to wear today? I think I'll wear a little bit of John today. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're going to talk like the world, you're going to be in bad shape. They're filthy-minded. They're filthy language. Their tongue is the tongue of a viper. They're liars. They're deceivers. They will encroach you and overcome you with lies and deception. But Jesus says, come unto me, all that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Folks, do you understand? All I want you to do is just love Jesus. He's given us a book that we can understand. Read it. Read John. Read the Gospels. They're great for you. And the little books in the back. I love the little Timothy, 1 and 2 John and all of them. They're great, and you can read them on lunch hour. James, oh, man, he had some insight, didn't he? James, well, my thought is he's coming soon. Make sure your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life by assuring it every day. I got a missionary report the other day. One of the largest revivals in the world today is taking place in China. Underground. Where they're persecuted and they're threatened for their lives if they find out that they're Christians. Where the word is literally black marketed in and hidden. But they're persevering. In this country, we have every opportunity. You can't drive a mile in any direction without passing churches. And you know what? People are caught up in the materialistic age we live in because they're preoccupied. And I can't say everything's wrong, but if it pulls you away from God, it's wrong for you. Some people can take a little bit of something, but others can't. The day that we're living in are days of scoffers and unbelievers. See, I don't know if you know what a seer is or not, a seer. A seer is a person that sees into the future. The Bible's filled with them. Sometimes a person is a seer becomes a prophet. But if you knew the future, if you could see what's going to happen, I'm just going to name a couple names because I want you to realize how serious this is. If you could see the future of the Catholic Church, if you could see the future of those countries that are around Israel that are bombing and firing and setting on bombs and things daily, you would say, oh, I pity those countries. Most of the countries in the world today that are away from God, their future and their destiny is very bad, very bad. Zero in on a couple things and follow it in the news, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Jesus is coming sooner than you think. In a twinkling of an eye, in such an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Oh, you may not be sleeping. You may not be in the fold of the bed saying, well, I'm just going to have a good snooze here tonight. No, it could be while you're out grocery shopping. It could be while you're just pulling in the parking lot. It could be when you least expect it. In such an hour you think not, the Son of Man, say it, cometh, cometh. What are they not expecting? The coming of Jesus. Oh, it can't come on Tuesday because that's my football night. Oh, hope it don't come then. Do you realize how big a joke that is? He's coming. Let's bow our heads just for a moment.